Are you ready? Well, one of you is. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Take your bulletins out. You should have one. You should have got one when you came in. If not, please make sure that you get one on the way out. There's important things for us to be able to know. That's kind of why we do a bulletin every week and send it home with you so that you know what's going on. So right after our morning worship service, we were having church family dinner. We want to invite you to be able to stay and join us for dinner. You can already, if you take a deep breath, you can kind of smell dinner cooking. So it'll be really good. Monday night, ladies Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m. This is open to all ladies. Tuesday night, men's Bible study here at the church, 7 p.m. That's open to all men. Wednesday, we have joy Bible study here at the church. If you have the time to be able to come and join us, that would be great. We finished our study in the Holy Spirit. We're moving on to angelology. So if you've always wanted to know a little bit more about what the Bible has to say about angels, this would be a great time for you to be able to come. Thursday night is Awana. It's Hungry, Hungry Hippo Night. So we're going to have a lot of hippos around here. No, just kidding, okay? We're going to have a lot of kids, but won't be any hippos. So that's a night that they look forward to so much. And so lots of other announcements. But before we move forward, tomorrow is Veterans Day. And so if you are a veteran, if you have served in our military or currently are serving in our military, would you stand so that we can just show you how much we appreciate what you've done for us? All right, let's give them a round of applause, all right? Because one of the reasons we get to do what we do here at Lake Hazel Bible Church is because of what they did in their service for the military to protect our freedom, and especially our freedom to be able to gather together to worship and to hear God's word. And so we don't have to worry about people coming in and disturbing our service and saying, you can't do that, we're taking you all to jail. We don't have to worry about that because these people gave their time, they gave their talent, some of them gave their treasure, many gave their all to be able to protect those freedoms for us. And so take a look at one of these people that were standing this morning. Tomorrow, if you're out and about and you know that there's somebody there that's being honored as a veteran, go up and thank them. Just say, thank you for allowing me the freedoms that I have, that I exercise every week as I'm able to go to my church, to be able to worship God, to be able to pray to God, to be able to learn about God from His Word. Those are privileges, freedoms that have been fought for that we should never, ever, ever take for granted. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Hopefully, there's no Sunday school today because of our church family dinner. Just want you to be apprised of that. All right. Ready to sing?
Yes.
Ready to worship?
Yes.
Yes. That's why we're here. It's to worship God. All right. Let's go.
Would you all stand with me as we begin?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Through a tear rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where is glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Come on. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You do service for Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Applause. Come on, He's worthy. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God is good, amen?
Amen.
Praise Him for Jesus. Jesus, who went to that cross for us, shed His blood on our behalf. Praise Him for that. Lord, we're so thankful to be in Your house this morning, so thankful to be in Your presence. Lord, we just want to put You first right now. Put everything else aside. Put You in the forefront, in the center. Lord, we love You, and we're here for You.
And I hear the Savior say, "My strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. As Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Yes.
He washed it white as snow. The one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life.
Sorrow, dead in my sin, lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so thank you.
my life began.
Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for making a way. Lord, we can sing these songs with such gladness, such joy. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are good, God. You are so good. Jesus, you're so wonderful. Thank you. Lord, we want to worship you today, not just in word, but in deed. Lord, we want to worship you with the sermon. Lord, with fellowship later. Lord, we want to worship you, not just in this place, but when we go out. Lord, as we consider how great you are, Lord, help us to respond. God, help us to have no choice but to respond to how awesome you are. Lord, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering, and as they do that, as that plate passes in front of you, don't feel obligated to give just because we're passing a plate, but give because you want to worship. It's the only good reason to give.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Salvation.
Aren't you glad we have a living Savior, not a dead spiritual leader? We are blessed. Thank you so much, worship team. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. All right, let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for who you are. We're so grateful for what you have done for us. Father, you are our living hope. You left the glory and the splendor of heaven to come to this earth in the person of Jesus. Father, you were born in a little place called Bethlehem, but that wasn't your beginning, because you are eternal. You are in eternity past, you are in eternity present, and you will be in eternity future. And Father, that gives us hope. Father, we are so thankful that our hope doesn't rely on who we are or where we came from, but it solely rests in you. And Father, I pray that that will bring encouragement to our hearts today. Father, I pray that you'll help us as we now open your word to be able to open our hearts, to open our ears, to open our minds, to open our lives to what you have in store for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go and have a great time. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 28. Now, Homer had been in church for many years. He always promised he would go, but he never did. One day, the pastor was shocked when he saw Homer walk in for the Sunday service. And from then on, Homer was at every Sunday service, Sunday school, and every activity that was going on at church. 3 months later, after a service, the pastor said to Homer, "I am glad to see the important change in you. You had always dodged church, and now it seems like you can't get enough of it." Homer replied, "Well, you see, pastor, I bought a new pickup. And the dealer told me the warranty would expire if I missed even one service." Okay, some of you will get that later on today. It'll be okay. You get it? The car guy gets it. I can't ask for anything more than that, I guess, this morning. Now, many of you have been faithful to attend many worship services during our study in the book of Acts. And I know that because we began this study on February 5th, 2023. Yeah, I have it written down, by the way. And we'll be concluding it today. And I got to tell you that concluding this book of Acts is kind of like, for me, saying goodbye to a dear friend. Because as I've studied, as I've prepared, as I've put messages together to be able to share with you, this book has made a difference in my life. I mean, all of God's Word makes a difference in my life. Should make a difference in all of our lives. But for some reason, this, as I've studied, as I've preached, as I've thought and prayed through some of the things in this book, it just captured my heart. And it's going to be like saying goodbye to a dear, dear friend. There have been lots of sermons, 55 of them to be exact. Yes, I have all of them written down. And there were many lessons for us to be learned. And the focus right from the beginning of our study of the book of Acts has been being involved in God's mission with God's message. And that's not going to change today. That will still be the focus today. So the main idea for today's message is God's mission will be ongoing when we stay sharp spiritually. One of the fears that I have of the fact that our focus has been being involved in God's mission with God's message is that now that we're done with Acts, we think we're done with God's mission. And that's not true. It's an ongoing mission. It's a mission that's been given to you and to me, and it is expected by God for us to what? Keep it ongoing. It's not the time for his mission of taking his message to those around us so that they can come to believe in Jesus as Savior. That mission is not done yet. And it's not going to be done for quite some time. It's not going to be done until after the rapture. It's not going to be done until after the 7-year great tribulation period. It's not going to be done until at the end of that tribulation period, there will be a battle in a place called the Valley of Megiddo, where we get the word Armageddon from. It's not going to be finished until Jesus sets up his rule and reign for 1,000 years, and that is ended. And that ends with the great white throne judgment. where unbelievers will be judged for their choice of not believing in Jesus as Savior. And then we will, those of us who believe, we will begin to fully enjoy all of eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You get the idea? Get the idea? Only then, after the great white throne judgment, only then will God's mission be done. But until then, it's ongoing. And it's for you and for me, for us, to be able to continue to do his mission of what? Taking his message to those around us. And God's mission will be ongoing when we stay sharp spiritually. Now remember that Paul and the castaways, we talked about Gilligan's Island last week, right? Paul and the castaways that were with him on this ship found another ship and they continued their journey to Rome. Hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 28. Follow along as I read verses 11 through 13. After 3 months, they were in Malta for 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up. And on the second day, we came to Puteoli. Wow. Okay. And so, Syracuse is not in New York, by the way. Here in Acts chapter 28, it's in Sicily. And they stayed there for 3 days. And from there, they made a circuit and they arrived at Rhegium, which is the toe of Italy. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, they came to Puteoli, an important part for the city of Rome. And so there are a few things this morning I want us to look at that should be in place for us to stay spiritually sharp. You see, not only am I concerned about the fact that you will feel that God's mission is now over because we're done with the book of Acts, but my fear is also that you won't continue to grow towards spiritual maturity, that you won't do those things to be able to keep yourself spiritually sharp. We're going to look at what that's going to entail. Here's the first thing. We will be spiritually sharp as we connect with other believers. I'm going to pick it back up in verse 14, and I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. There we found brothers and sisters, and we're invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers and sisters there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. Isn't that great? They connected with these other believers. And because they could not do a search on the internet for a church, they went out of their way to find fellowship. And once they found this fellowship, they were there for 7 days, which allowed them to gather for worship. Now remember, back in the early church, it was their custom to worship, to gather for worship every single day. Some of you are going, whew, glad we don't have to do that today. You know what? There could be some advantages to doing that even yet today. But I'm not suggesting that we change what we normally know to be able to do. And just think about this. After being isolated on a ship with salty sailors and hardened criminals, along with being shipwrecked on an island where they couldn't communicate with the natives, these believers longed to be with God's people, no matter how inconvenient it was. You know, I think there's a lesson there. We need to have that same longing to be with God's people. You've heard Jared say, and you've heard me say on many, many occasions, that we look forward to being here on Sunday morning because it's a family reunion. Every Sunday morning is a family reunion. Why? Because we gather with our church family. And I can't imagine going on a regular basis without being with my church family. And I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad you have that same mindset as some of the rest of us do, that we long to be with God's people no matter how inconvenient it might be. And notice how the believers from Puteoli invited the travelers. And this word invited expresses warmth and earnestness. It means to comfort, exhort, beseech. And we need to make it a priority to connect with other believers. We've talked about throughout our study of the book of Acts, as we've seen the birth of the early church, and as we've seen the growth of the early church, and as we've seen the effectiveness and the impact of the early church, we've talked about the fact that as believers, we need each other. God did not save us to be islands unto ourselves. We need each other. I need you. Believe it or not, you need me more than just to communicate God's word. We find strength. We find comfort. We grow, even if it's sitting around the table at church family dinner, inhaling the food that we just got as we went through the lines. We're growing. God uses those times of us to be able to be together to what? Help us. Help us to grow towards spiritual maturity. We need to come to church and gather with other believers, because believers are not called to be consumers. We're called to be contributors. And when we're together, you contribute to my life, and hopefully I contribute to your life. That's the way God intends for it, to be able to work. The church needs you, not just to do some job in the church. The church needs you, and you need the church to what? To continue to help each other grow as we take the opportunity to choose to be together. Now, did you listen to verse 15? It tells us that some of these believers traveled a great distance to be together. One group traveled about 33 miles, and the other journeyed over 40 miles. And this would take about, back then, this would take about 2 full days in order to travel. Now, 3 years earlier, Paul had sent the book of Romans to these folks in these various places. And they no doubt had spent time learning its doctrinal truths and were excited to be able to meet Paul so that they could what? Continue to grow in their spiritual maturity. And I know that some of you travel a great distance each week to gather as a church family. Some of you come from all over the Treasure Valley to be here. And as your pastor, I want you to know, I am grateful for your commitment to make this your church family and to make an effort to be able to be here every time we can be together. Here's the second thing. We will be spiritually sharp as we see our life events as an opportunity for ministry. Look at verse 16. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Paul wasn't taken to a physical prison, but instead was allowed some freedom, even though he was continually chained to a Roman soldier. Now, this may have seemed like a problem, but Paul saw it as a mission opportunity, because these soldiers changed shifts every 6 hours. So for Paul, he had a captive audience. We think that Paul was the one that was being held captive. No, I think those Roman soldiers were. Can you imagine those conversations that Paul had with those fellas, right? Telling them about Jesus, telling them about God, telling them how on the road to Damascus, God changed his direction, that he saw the risen Christ, and he heard the voice of the risen Christ, and God gave him a mission. And God gave him a mission with a very important message. And I could just hear Paul saying, let me tell you that message. Because it's a message not only meant for me, but it's a message meant for you. Can't you just hear Paul saying that? As these guards came and they were there for 6 hours, and then 6 hours, and then 6 hours. And while in this situation, Paul used this life and event as an opportunity for ministry, because while he was chained to these guards, Paul wrote 4 New Testament letters, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. So Paul saw God's purpose in everything, and he looked at every life event as an opportunity for ministry. Every life event, everything that God brought across Paul's life, Paul used it as an opportunity for ministry. Paul was not about wasting opportunities. Oh, I think there's a lesson there for us, don't you think? That we shouldn't waste the opportunities that God gives to us to be able to what? Speak that message. Because it's a message of eternal life. It's a message of knowing Jesus personally as Savior. It's a message, as we sang this morning, it's the message that Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And by the way, class, does all mean all? So if Jesus paid it all, is there any room for us to pay any part? No. Can we do anything to pay it anymore? No. He paid it all. So our salvation doesn't come because of the work that we do. Our salvation comes because of whom we believe. We believe in Jesus as Savior. And Paul, I believe, took every opportunity to be able to share that. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, he gives us a clue that that's what he does. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 14, Paul said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. Notice that. All of the Roman soldiers, they would go back to their fellow soldiers, and they would say, you know what? If you get stuck with this fellow Paul, you better watch out. Keep your ears open, but more importantly, keep your heart open, because he has a really cool message that he's going to share with you. Just want you to be advised that that's what you're going to find, right? The whole imperial guard, and to all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. A life event, his what? Imprisonment. Now, I got to be honest with you. If for some reason I find myself in prison, which I try to avoid that at all costs, but if I ever find myself in jail or prison, I don't know that I'd have that same attitude. I don't know that I'd use that life event to be able to do that. I might come around to it eventually as God works in my heart. But Paul, he didn't complain. He didn't cry. He didn't say, I'm being charged unjustly. Remember, we saw that in these later chapters of the book of Acts, where they had nothing to charge Paul with. They couldn't find anything to hold him with, but yet they still continued to what? Keep him in prison. I would have been complaining. I would have been asking, do you know a good lawyer? Do you know a good lawyer? can you help me make that phone call? Right? But Paul said, you know what? This is where God has me. This is my new life event, and I'm going to make the most of it for ministry. I'm going to do his mission right here with the message that he's given me. And most of the brothers, he goes on to say in Philippians 1, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are themselves much more bold to speak the word without fear. What were they doing? Following Paul's example. Wow, that is great. Then we see that Paul, here in chapter 28 of Acts, Paul asks for a meeting with the local Jewish leaders to share God's message of salvation with them. Yeah, and you know, I think the people, if I was put in prison, the last people I would want to know is the people who put me there, right? That'd be the last people I want to see. Those would be the last people I want to talk about. Not Paul. He calls for a meeting of the Jewish religious leaders. Listen to their response in verses 21 and 22. And these Jewish religious leaders said to Paul, we've received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Wow. What did they say? We desire to hear from you. Tell us, Paul. Tell us personally. We've heard the stories. We've heard the accusations. We've heard the charges. We've heard what's been going on. You tell us now what really is at the base of this. So in verse 23, we see what happened when a large group of people gathered at Paul's Airbnb. Look at verse 23. When they appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging, his Airbnb, in greater numbers, From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. You see, God's purpose for us as a church and for those of us who are involved in the church is to be involved in his mission by reaching our family, our friends, our neighbor, our community, and the nations of the world with his message of eternal life as we live and move in our place in the world. We need to use our life events as a platform for ministry and to make disciples of those who believe in Jesus as Savior. That's the mission that God has given to us as a church and as individuals who are part of that church family. And God's mission will be ongoing when we stay sharp spiritually. Here's another thing. We will be spiritually sharp as we focus, I want you to pay attention to this, as we focus on people who will listen. One way that Paul stayed spiritually sharp was to invest his energy in those who were open to God's message. Pick it up in verse 25, and we're going to read down through verse 28. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The statement was this: the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them. Who is Paul talking about with this message? He's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Israelites. The Messiah came to them, and they went, whoa, we've been waiting for you. We're so glad that you're here. No, what does it say in 1 John 1:11? He came unto his own, and they what? Received him not. They rejected him. And Isaiah had predicted that long before the Messiah ever arrived here on the earth, long before the Savior ever came, Isaiah predicted, prophesied that was going to happen. Look at verse 28. Paul goes on to say, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. Now, it's interesting, this message from Isaiah is quoted six times in the New Testament to show the heartbreak of a hardened heart. The Jews, their heart was hardened because they wanted a political Messiah. They didn't want a suffering Messiah. They didn't want a Savior to take care of the issue of sin. They wanted a Messiah that was going to make them one of the greatest civilizations of all times, like the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Persians, and now the Romans and the Greeks. But that wasn't God's intent. That wasn't God's plan. God said, oh, there's a political deliverer coming, but not yet. First, we have to take care of this issue of sin that has happened to all mankind because Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden rebelled against me. They didn't obey my word. And from then on, sin passed upon every mankind, every person, all of mankind. And so we have to deal with that before there can be this political deliverer. And because the Jews demonstrated spiritual apathy, Paul turned his attention to the non-Jews who were spiritually hungry. So here's the lesson. Look for opportunities to share God's message of salvation to everyone. And when you see someone who's willing to listen, focus on him or her. Focus on them. While God's message of salvation spread throughout Jerusalem, it extended to different cultures, languages, and ethnic groups. People from every walk of life and various backgrounds were saved and brought into the ever-expanding church. At its core, Acts is a book about each of us serving God and his ongoing mission. Here's another way to be spiritually sharp. stay involved in God's mission wherever we are. We will be spiritually sharp as we stay involved in God's mission wherever we are. Look at verses 30 and 31. Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Not only was Paul involved in God's mission, but he lived God's mission. He welcomed all who came to him. While he was a prisoner here in Rome, Timothy came to visit him. John Mark, Luke, Aristarchus, Epaphras, and Demas were with him. While a prisoner, he also led Philemon's runaway slave, Onesimus, to belief in Jesus as Savior. Paul's passion was to preach about Jesus and about who he was and what he came to do through his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his soon return. And as we saw just a few sermons ago, Paul urged people to believe in Jesus as Savior. We need to do the same thing. And when we find somebody who we know is eager to listen, we need to focus on them. Paul preached and he taught with boldness. He took every life event as an opportunity for what? Ministry. As he was involved in God's ongoing mission with God's transforming message. The word bold here speaks of freedom, frankness, and exactness of speech. Somebody told me here not too long ago, as I was sharing the message of Jesus and him dying on the cross to pay the debt of sin that we owed, and all we had to do was believe that he would do that for us. And this person looked at me and said, "Pastor, that's just too simple." And I said, "You're right. I'm not going to disagree with you. It is simple." And this person said, you make it sound like it's easy believism. And I said, "Yeah, it is easy. God made it easy. God made it simple because we as human beings, we're the ones who what? Make it difficult." And sometimes we make it difficult because we use way too many words. Because we think we have to explain. We have to be a theologian to be able to share. Paul was bold. He spoke freely. He spoke with frankness and exactness of speech. The message is simple. So folks, when you take the opportunity that God has given you to be able to speak the message of Jesus as Savior for eternal life, keep it simple. And if somebody asks you, "Well, what about this and what about that? How many angels can sit on the head of a pin?" Just say, "You know what? That's not what we're talking about right now." Or, "Where did Cain get his wife?" "Yeah, that's not what we're talking about today." Do you want to believe? Can you bring yourself to believe in the fact that Jesus loved you so much that he went to the cross for you? His body was broken, his blood was shed, so that by believing in him, you could have eternal life in his presence. And that word eternal means forever and ever and ever. And all you need to do is believe. Are you ready? Are you ready to believe? And just let it at that. And if the person says, "Nah, not today," you know what? Then go on your way. Focus on those who will listen and keep the message frank and exact. Paul did not water down or weaken the truths of God's word by getting into unnecessary spiritual discussions. So what was it that I want you, as we close this study in our book of Acts, what is this that I want you to know? I want you to know some things. First, Paul did not let anything stop him. Paul did not let anything stop him. No matter where he was, no matter what he was going through, he took the opportunities as God presented them to him. To what? To share the message. Why? Because he wanted to continually be involved in God's ongoing mission. Paul did not allow anything to slow him down. And Paul did not do anything to hinder God's message of salvation. If you don't remember anything else about this whole 55 bunch of sermons from the book of Acts, remember this. God's mission is ongoing, and God's message of salvation for eternal life continues today to be life-changing. And God wants you to be involved in that. He's asking you to be involved with that. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the message today. And I thank you for all of these messages in the book of Acts that we've been able to look at. We've been able to break these chapters down. We've been able to break these verses down. We've been able to grab a hold of what it is that was going on in the early church, what it is that you were doing according to your purpose and your plan for this early church. And Father, you have given us as believers a mission. And Father, my fear is that we'll think that your mission is over because our study of the book of Acts is finished. But Father, until we are in that place of going to be able to enjoy our eternal life forever and ever and ever, you still have a mission. And while we're still here on this earth, while we still have breath, you want us to be involved in that mission. Father, you still have a message, and that message is life-changing. And Father, that message is so reassuring to those who may think that they're lost and they'll be lost forever. Father, help us to stay involved in your ongoing mission with your life-changing message. Father, help nothing to slow us down. Father, help nothing to get in our way of doing what it is we know that you have asked us to be able to do. Thank you for your mission. But Father, most of all, thank you for your message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast on me to save, it is well with my soul.
Yes, my sin. swell.